Hey there. Thank you so much for listening to what will be the first ever episode of the Marathon Podcast. My name is Colt. I am the creator of the show as well as one of the hosts with two of my good friends, Henry and Andrew. I promise I won't be doing this before every episode, just because this is the first one. I figured I'd give a little bit of backstory on what we're doing and just get you caught up to speed, and then we'll get right into it. Each week, myself and my co-host will be watching an entire series of films over the span of a single afternoon. This week, we are watching all four Transporter movies back to back to back to back. And I know what you're thinking. This sounds like this podcast is going to be way too long, but I promise we cut it down to just the good bits. So if you've ever watched the Transporter films and you're curious about how other people feel about them, or if you don't want to watch the Transporter movies and you want to have a passing knowledge of what happens in these movies and maybe get some laughs along the way, then hopefully this is the podcast for you. With that, I will let the awesome theme music by Jacob White come up, and then we'll get right into the show. Do you have any experience with the Transporter films? I don't really know how we got to the point where we decided Transporter was the first.
Don't know. I think it's probably Henry's fault.
Probably.
Probably just because I had the movie.
Oh, yeah.
We definitely were Henry's fault.
We're thinking about ridiculously long things. Well, I'll tell you my experience. Transporter-wise, it comes at a time where I started watching movies with my brother, and we'd watch a lot of movies on repeat. Like, specifically, remember, he had a collection, and there's about, like, 20 to 30 films, and we'd just watch those on loop. And one of those was The Transporter.
Okay.
And at this time, we had a PlayStation 2, and I was playing Gran Turismo 3.
It's a good game.
Constantly. Anyways, I was really into cars at the time.
Okay.
Transporter came out, and I just remember the intro of that movie where Jason shows up. I don't know the name of his character. I actually don't remember too much.
I don't. Frank? I think his name's Frank.
Is it Frank?
Rank?
I think it's just Frank.
That's awful.
With an F or no, with an F or no F.
What, with a PH?
What do you mean? No,
I thought it was Rank. Just
no, Frank.
Okay. So I remember he shows up and just, I wanted to be him. I was like, wow. Dude, you know what? Maybe if I play enough Gran Turismo 3 and learn some fighting skills, I can just do this as my job.
You do have a Miata now. It's like your car.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure he has a BMW, early 2000s.
I mean,
but the Miata is mid-90s, so even cooler.
Wow.
Precisely.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you've taken transportation seriously.
Oh, yeah.
Throughout your life.
You know, it's definitely influenced me. I have not seen 2, 3, or this fourth one apparently is out
fourth
there.
One. Yeah, that one's out there somewhere.
Maybe we shouldn't talk about it.
Not yet. Henry, why do you own all three of these DVDs?
Well, I love DVDs. I have a DVD collection because it's like half price books. You can just find $2 clearance DVDs at all times. And so when I was 13, my dad was always kind of like traveling, like basically lived in another place. He would come and visit us. So it was really like my mom, myself, and my sister. And then when I was 13, my sister went off to college. So then it was just me and my mom, me and a teenage boy. My mom just like, how do I relate to this creature? And we bonded hardcore because we would just watch movies and go out to the movies all the time. And we really didn't have a whole lot of like discretion. I mean, we definitely cared about like good versus bad, but there was also a whole new world of just fun where good,
yes,
and bad no longer had any inherent value.
Right. Yeah.
And that is where The Transporter falls for me. Like, this is a series of movies that's like not a good series, but they are, at least the original three are all like extremely fun.
They're fast.
They're fat. They really, they're
fast,
are fast
movies.
They're fast. They're fun. It just capitalizes on Jason Statham's charm and like gets by pretty much on that. And it has really good fight scenes. Like they're no pushovers in the action genre.
Okay.
They're very well choreographed.
I'm really excited about that. I watched Transporter 2, I think, on TV one time.
And that is my the extent of my experience. I watched it with commercials.
Oh my God. I forgot that's a thing.
I watched it with commercials, and I think it was also like cut down for TV. Like they took the risque parts out of it.
Perfect.
So like every time someone would get shot, it'd be like it'd crop in to just their face. And there was like a, I don't know if maybe it wasn't too, because I wasn't paying attention, but I think there was also a sex scene in the back of a car that they just didn't show, but just
cut it.
Well, they just, I don't, they like showed a different shot. It was like the outside of the car just rocking back and forth. And it was very clear that that wasn't the scene.
It was just a shot of the tailpipe.
Yeah.
With the car revving up.
Yeah.
Some liquids coming out of there.
I think that's too artistic an interpretation for the Transporter series. It's
a little too Titanic. Yeah.
One other
steamy
thing.
Hand on the window.
Oh, that'd be so nice.
Jason's steamy hand on the window.
That's the name of the fourth mirror. One. Jason's steamy hand on the window. But yeah, the other thing I remember about this movie was, I think at one point they go to this warehouse to hide out. And I think there's some old friend of his, he's some French dude, and he makes these delicious cookies.
Yeah. This is Transporter One?
This is Transporter
One. This is what we're just about to watch?
Yeah. I think that's my favorite part. Is like there's an underwater scene, probably with Moby playing, I'm assuming.
Oh,
or
hell
something
yeah.
Very similar to Moby. And it's like just iridescent and beautiful. And you're just, oh, I just love underwater world, you know? And then they make those cookies, and there's those French mandolins or
I
some
remember.
Shit?
It's, this is the French guy, a police officer. He's making them eclairs.
Are like, they eclairs?
They're eclairs, and they, like, you can smell them. Like,
yeah, dude,
they look so good.
You just feel at home.
Why is this?
You know, all this action's going on, and then they just get to chill out with this French dude. And you're
wow.
Like,
oh, I think these are the details that have clearly made this warrant a series.
Okay. Like, so it's like a, there's, like, wholesome elements to Transporter that
like,
I don't
it slows
know about.
Down, and you want it to.
Yeah.
But I haven't watched it in 15 years, maybe. I don't know, at least 12.
Okay.
Yeah. The director, I remember, is Louis Leterrier, who I think is like either friends with or from the school of like Luc Besson.
I don't know who that is.
Like Fifth Element.
Oh, yeah.
Chaboy.
Okay.
Leon
Chaboy.
The,
oh, yeah.
Leon the Professional.
Chaboy. Like, horrible human being, most likely.
Probably not a great guy. Okay. But. Oh, really? Comes from the school of like these French filmmakers who make dope, fun, kind of weird, sometimes dumb action movies that are like develop a cult following. Yeah. Anyway, that's I'm trying to put like Transporter in the context of like the first two are made by that guy and they like they start to fall into that zone of like, oh, there's like there's a soul in here. Even if it's dumb, it's not like
a true trash
horror movie.
Okay. And then it got picked up and fell into like the XXX and Fast and Furious and surfing
burn
movies.
It down. Surfing movies.
Yeah. That's kind of where these exist in my mind.
Well, what else did this director make? You know?
I can
look this up.
I think at this point.
I have a computer.
I mean,
like Luc Besson, become famous enough to actually make trash. Like high budget. Like he might have done Clash of the Titans or something like that.
Mm.
One of those big like CGI extravaganzas that actually has no soul.
Yeah.
There are four different directors that directed the films that we're going to watch today.
So the first two?
Okay.
Yeah.
So the first one is Consensus the best one?
I don't know. I've only seen the first one, and it's probably a nostalgia thing.
Okay.
For me.
Probably, personally. But it's also kind of like, I don't know. It's like the first time you have McDonald's. And then you go back.
Sure.
You're like,
are you saying
you
McDonald's
your
second
system?
Time is better?
I mean, it's like the first one is the
your
best.
Your body doesn't know how to handle it. And it rejects it. Is that what happens the first time
you
watch Transporter?
I mean, it's because you're excited about it. It's fresh. Okay. And then you're like, oh, this is the same thing. I'm kind of getting over it now. But it's essentially the same thing. I don't think it takes a huge dip in quality necessarily.
Well, it took me a solid decade to get over McDonald's. I'll tell you that much. I think I'm going to get over
one
the
time.
Transporter a little bit faster.
One time and it ruined you?
No, I'm saying when I was a kid, I was really into Mickey D's.
Hell yeah,
it was a little treat, you know. I mean, my mom was cooking home cooked bangers day in, day out, which I got over, of course.
You got over the bangers, yeah.
Dude, when Mickey D's, I would beg for Mickey D's. As a young lad.
Okay. Well, I guess we should just go into the first film
here. Let's check it out.
Yeah.
Let's check it out. Let's let's watch the first movie.
You're very precise. Transportation is a precise business.
I was wondering if you wouldn't mind transporting something for me.
That's what you do, right? You deliver, no questions asked. Why not? Who are you?
My name is Eli.
What kind of shit am I in?
Deep shit. Very deep shit.
What are you doing?
Making up for the trouble.
Your levels are still good here.
Just cruising. I'm gonna crack my root beer open later.
Perfect. Okay.
I cracked it open now. You trying to say something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this caffeine free? I think I made a mistake.
I think root beer is caffeine free.
This one is.
Oh, good.
I think root beer as a
entity
is caffeine free.
Interesting move.
Yeah.
Guess root beer's been around for a long ass time. Huh?
I guess so.
Before soda.
I don't know.
Could be the original soda.
Could have been. I don't know.
Maybe. Let's talk about the movie.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay. Well, Transporter One. How'd you boys feel? I liked that. I had a really good time with that movie.
Yeah.
I had a great time. As I was watching, I started to remember every single thing that was going to happen. And it was nostalgic. It was amazing.
The fight scenes were great throughout that entire movie. There wasn't like the oil spill scene specifically.
Yeah.
Very good.
Really well choreographed, all of them. They're fun to look at, and they like, he does really good martial arts. So it's like, I don't know, very kinetic and like gets you hyped as opposed to like a typical, I mean, this isn't Hollywood, this is a European movie, but like more Hollywood ones are just like filmed with showing someone's face getting hit.
It's full body.
And he like uses his shirt as a weapon at one point. He's always like using his hands or his feet or everything.
Like for real fight.
Yeah.
Like he is incredibly athletic in that movie.
Yeah.
On the bus.
Yeah.
Backflip, hanging one leg, reverse raptor kick. Boom.
Pretty good.
Very good.
Incredible. Yeah.
It's like that, and then I always like the locations in all the movies, or mainly this one. This is like the best one location wise. Like that's a big action movie thing too, is like the travelogue element of it. And this one, you're just in gorgeous rural France. You're like, all right, I just feel pretty good.
Yeah,
hanging out in this world.
Yeah,
I don't really have like anything negative to say about this movie, except it was like there was a couple parts where like it was like wearing its age a little bit.
I thought it was going to be way worse.
I thought so,
aging
too.
Aging-wise, I was ready to be let down. You know movies you've seen a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, this is a little gem I had in my childhood. It's time to ruin it, you know?
Yeah.
But, no, the only funny part, right in the beginning with the tire screeching, you have this ominous beat going on. You're like, this is a real serious guy.
I think... the tone was really set. For like, this is one of those movies when we saw the classic, like, don't download a car piracy thing at the beginning of the movie.
I'm in early 2000s. Yeah, I'm like, feeling good. Yeah. I've been here before.
Yeah,
oh, I know what this is.
I'm at my parents' house.
Yeah, that was the strongest hit of nostalgia.
Sure. Yeah. the soundtrack is also something we should probably talk about. In that it's it feels like it was just free music that they found somewhere
and
put kind of over the movie.
It's like you type in a certain mood, you go car chase, and you have five samples, and you go, this is the best one out of those. Good.
Yeah, and then they used all five.
Let's use a few more. The theme song for the bad guy, which his name is Wall Street, apparently.
Wall Street, yeah.
I don't think they say Wall Street out loud.
I don't think they do.
Do you think they named them after the movie or in the script right away? They go, we got a bad guy. His name is Wall Street.
He's just like, he's a Wall Street bad guy.
And you know, go,
like,
what do we call
money tycoon Wall Street?
Leave it in the script. We're leaving it as Wall Street. Yeah.
Yeah, this is not about character development. This is about violence.
So you just had a type of character they call the Wall Street. They go, yeah, that's what he is.
Yeah.
Classic.
Hence why that guy's performance. I think the directors are like, you're Wall Street and you are evil. Because that is all he's doing throughout the movie. Just making angry or crazy faces constantly.
Laughing.
Yeah, reaching behind his head. Yeah. People giving him money to hand to other people.
I wonder what else he's been in because...
Well, he was in, you said he was also in Fast and Furious?
Which same
the
character?
The first one. I'm talking, only the first one.
Imagine imagine Wall Street, but in fishnets.
Yeah. Like was a, he it's called a, it's Wall a, Street?
He was called fishnets. Yeah. But he, same exact character.
Okay.
Same tone. Same vibe.
Does he still do, like, the weird, like, criminally insane thing?
Oh, yeah.
Where
yeah.
he's, like, reaching over his shoulder and, like, making weird facial expressions.
They're giving him chicken wings. And this Coronas is... into his hand instead of money.
reaches behind. Someone slaps a Corona into his palm. That's good. I like that. Yeah, I thought that was just solid. That's a good action movie.
Yeah.
I don't, like, how do people feel about that movie? I haven't, like...
I really enjoy it.
I think the reviews are pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in general.
Yeah, it's like, again, like, people aren't like, oh, this is, it's not like Mad Max or Jason Bourne where you're like, oh, this is, like, an amazing movie. But people really enjoy watching these like over and over again because there's like even the bad parts never for me like never drag it down. Like the girlfriend is not a good actress, but like whatever, like it works because he's annoyed with her.
Yeah, right. You feel like him. Yeah. She starts doing something, you go, I would be kind of upset about this.
Yeah, and he is upset about it. Like viscerally upset, like not trying to hide it.
Yeah. Even her trying to hook up with him, I was also like, "This is not the time."
Yeah,
we'll slow it down.
That feels like a very like early 2000s thing too. Of like, oh, they are going to hook up in this movie,
dude. It started with the trunk and the straw.
Oh, you knew.
Oh, come on, that blowjob scene.
That was that was too almost much. Too much.
It was too much. It would have been okay if they didn't show his facial features.
How about you explain like the blowjob scene?
He's clearing the hand, the hair out of her face.
Okay. Yeah,
let's take it from the beginning of the scene. Explain what you mean by the blowjob scene. Because there's not actually a blowjob in the movie.
So, you know, he has this one stop for refreshments. And at this point, he knows there's a body in the car.
Right.
He
He's transporting
a live person.
A live person.
In a large duffel bag, which everyone can pick up with one arm.
Yeah.
No problem.
Everyone's very strong in this movie.
Estimated at 50 kilograms. No problem.
Yeah. One hand.
One hand.
Full extension.
I mean, Jason does look strong.
He does look strong.
But into the blowjob scene.
Yeah.
So he goes into the store. There's two ski instructor cops in the car at this point in the trunk.
Right. That he.
Well, they're not in there yet. That's.
Are they not in there?
No. He just gets two drinks. We see him with a water and an Orangina, and he grabs a straw. What did you think it was? Like a pixie?
I thought he got a pixie stick. Pixie stick. This is refreshment.
What is he doing?
So yeah, this is at the very top of the movie. We don't know anything about the characters at this point, but we know he got a package and he's driving around, and it turns out to be a lady who's in the back of the car.
Yep.
And this is where the weird interaction that Andrew is talking about happens.
Yep.
So the part that Andrew liked very much.
Andrew's favorite part of the movie. Definitely my favorite part. So he gets this soda, pops the trunk open, opens the bag, and she pops up like this majestic little animal waking up.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So cute, you know?
Okay.
I mean,
she is I'm just tied saying, up and has her mouth.
If I was in a bag for that long, I would look like an absolute wreck.
No, you're right. They do present the moment as here is the love interest.
Yeah. Like, and the music starts playing immediately.
Love music.
Love music.
Yeah.
And he pulls out his knife. She starts freaking out.
Uh-huh.
And I do remember this scene very well. At least the cutting of the duct tape.
How many times you watch it in a row as a kid?
On repeat. Burn the DVD out at that spot. It skips at that moment.
At that point.
So yeah, he cuts a little hole in the mouth, puts the straw in gently into the Orangina.
Jeez.
And then just inserts the straw through the little hole in the duct tape you cut.
Into her mouth.
The music escalates.
It does.
Into
crescendos.
Yeah, into a sexier version of the same song.
Yeah.
And then he says,
drink.
Drink. And then she starts just, you know, sucking down.
While making full eye contact with
both
him the whole
them,
time.
Both and of he's... them. It's cutting back and forth between the two.
Yeah, it's... It's not super covert what they're going for.
Nope. And then that. He like, yeah, clears her like hair out of her face, yeah. Making it even stronger.
Yep. And he's making weird facial expressions.
Yes. Yeah. There's some grunting, I think.
Yeah.
It
looks like grunting. What his facial expression is.
It might have just been I was caught up in the moment, but I heard grunting coming from somebody.
I was caught up.
Was it you? Was it you?
It was. I was caught up in Jason's eyes as well as the soundtrack at that point.
I mean, it tamed out after that, honestly. Like, I thought we were kind of in for a horny ride.
I mean,
well, the next scene, we got really worried because she has to, you know.
Right.
Go pee, and he just like
ties a noose around her neck and lets her go into the woods.
Turns into a little leash. Straight to the kink play, just right in there.
Yeah.
And then Vanilla's out after that.
Yeah. It does. Even the actual sex scene.
Oh, is
totally standard.
Oh, yeah. Standard.
I don't feel anything.
Kiss and you cut away.
Yeah. But that trunk blowjob scene.
Yeah. Why did they do that?
Is this rated R?
I don't think so. I think this is PG-13.
I bet it's the PG-13. They don't show any blood throughout the entire movie.
Yeah.
I don't remember. No blood, no boobs. Watching this as a kid, that did not seem sexual.
Well, it wouldn't. Like, you wouldn't really know about that.
Yeah. You don't know about blowjobs.
I guess I didn't know about blowjobs.
Yeah.
You're just like, they're into each other. They're looking. They're I was like, I really like
soda.
Strong icon.
She probably likes soda, too.
Oh, man, she likes soda, too. That's crazy. That's crazy. I have so much in common with this character.
Then the audience can connect.
Oh, jeez.
And they connected. They connected. I'll tell you.
The thing I'm curious about is, do we need to, like, remember what's going on in the plot for the next movie?
No. For the next movie?
No. Okay. No. Each one is, you know, another action movie. Some of the characters come back.
That's cool. Okay. I'm excited for some reoccurrence. Because at this point, they're just hanging out, right?
Yeah. I mean, who did you like? Like, who would you want to see again?
Oh, the cop.
The cop, for sure. The cop 100%. Was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's inspector.
Yeah. As they call him. If you haven't seen the movie, there's an inspector who's really chill and, like, just lets Jason Statham out of prison at the end of the movie to go save the day.
Yep. And he goes, listen, just go out of the police station with a gun to my head. They're going to let you pass.
Yeah.
Put me in your trunk.
Put me in the trunk of my car.
Yeah. And just rip it around town.
Yeah.
Jason goes, I can do that.
I trust you, Jason, he says.
I mean, the most amazing part is that this actor they have, Francois something, is so good that he sells
He's great.
He sells
he
all
is
of it.
The
You're
best
like,
actor.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. By far. Yeah.
But Jason's doing
pretty good
really
too.
Good for what his character's supposed to be, like the gentleman criminal.
Yeah.
In a world of mad dog idiot criminals, he is a smart criminal.
That's something that's interesting about this movie compared to, like, modern action movies, is you don't have to, like, think about the geopolitical outcome.
No, nothing.
It's like,
you're like, oh, we're in France. Okay.
Yeah. And it's not like, and they're trying to blow up the entire world. Mm. It's very contained. And I mean, it's still, like, high stakes. There's 400 people in a shipping container getting trafficked that he has to find.
But the world
is casually mentioned human trafficking, but they don't focus on, like, the
I mean,
the emotions.
No, you don't go away from this movie. You go, man, are people really getting trafficked? You just go, oh, I'm glad those 400 people in the shipping container
all
got
400
out.
It feels, of the people that are being trafficked in the world have been saved by Jason Statham.
It feels like a happy, like, I don't want to say family movie moment at the end, but it's just
resolved.
It's all resolved.
I mean, the daughter does kill her dad.
Her dad.
That isn't as heavy as
the main girl
could have been.
Kills her dad, who's a villain.
But then they only introduce him in, like, the final half hour of the movie too. So, like,
that's true.
It is much better that there's no intros to characters. There's no backstory.
The whole movie just goes in.
That's
very true. Yeah, this is a very low stress movie.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's probably why my mom and I would watch them over and over. It's like the action's super fun, but it's just, like, easy.
Yeah.
Fun. There's no.
It's not heavy.
It's almost like Indiana Jonesy in that way. That's probably a weird comparison to make, but like the action, there's violence, there's cool action, but it's not like people aren't getting broken in half.
No.
It's not like you're like, oh, God.
He even makes a point of not killing people when he doesn't have to. He kills people when he has to. Otherwise, he shoots people in the leg.
Yeah,
he didn't kill many people.
Yeah.
Jason Statham, good guy.
Good guy.
Mm. Yeah. Oil man.
Oil man.
Very
oily. Best fight scene, for sure.
Well, what do you guys know about Transporter 2?
I mean, I shouldn't talk because I've seen it a lot.
I know nothing about it. What I'm hoping for is the inspector comes back.
I hope so too.
I hope he has a sick new car.
Oh yeah.
Cause that original BMW, very nice.
I liked the car he had at the end too.
Or Mercedes.
The Mercedes, yeah.
Maybe he'll have the same car starting out.
Maybe.
I wonder if it's in a different country.
Isn't he? I don't know. I have no idea. I've never seen this
he
movie.
Said he moved there to get away from an old life, so yeah. I could see him moving somewhere else.
What if it's a prequel? Is it a prequel?
That would be sick.
He shook his head no.
That would be sick.
I will say with this one, I think I enjoy the villain of this one. He's like even dumber than the first one, I think, is how it goes down.
Well, that makes me very excited. That's something to be excited
for. I'm into that.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
I'm listening.
It was supposed to be an easy assignment.
This was a favor. I don't usually do this sort of a job.
I thought you were a professional driver.
A different kind of driving.
But in Frank Martin's line of work.
Jack Billings to see Dr. Coughlin.
Room 3 on your left.
Nothing is ever what it seems.
Jack! Get going, Jack!
Hello.
You have 2 hours to get me $20 million in non-sequential $100 bills. 2 hours, Mr. Billings. Starting now. We don't know who we're dealing with. We think the driver may be in on it.
That's impossible.
Now.
He could have been setting this up the whole time and you wouldn't have known any different.
Got him.
The best in the business.
Is it stable?
Yes, stable.
Good.
He's back in the game.
What do you know?
It's more than a kidnapping.
What are you gonna do?
Find the guy responsible.
Jason Statham.
Hold on.
Just came out of the dry cleaners.
Transporter 2.
Back in.
That one was louder than the last one.
Yeah.
Huge improvement in soundtrack. Although, I did like the first soundtrack a lot. If you can call it that.
It's a different feel, just in general.
Yeah, that one was a lot more intense. That was like, that was more of a modern movie, I think.
That was an American action movie, I think. Like,
yeah.
The music is always telling you, this is important, and like, whereas the other one is like, yeah, we're having a good old fight.
It was very lo-fi. Okay. I guess should we run through like what happened in this movie? This will take all of 30 seconds.
You want me to do this?
Let's go for it. Yeah, go for it, man. Explain what happened in
this
movie.
All right, so Frank's living a little bit low-key. For some reason, he's doing a favor.
Right.
And he's basically taking a kid to school and back home for this extremely rich family.
Right.
So he's a chauffeur at this point. And he gets caught up in some shit. The dad of the kid, super important, I guess, director of the FDA, maybe?
Maybe.
It doesn't really explain. He's just, he had like an American flag behind him and he was on a stage.
In a conference at one point.
He's very important in the drug community.
Yeah.
Oh, is he? Is it a drug community thing?
Yeah.
He's running some kind of administration.
And that's why
the cartel. Yeah, exactly. So anyways, the bad guys devise a plan, kidnap the kid in this hospital, which that scene was actually pretty cool. I liked it a lot. And Frank now needs to go rescue this kid because they're trying to get a ransom on him. They call the dad.
Right.
They want $5 million.
The dad's
very upset about $5 million.
But he does it.
He does it.
Because he's such a nerd. What a
he is a nerd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get back to that point.
We'll get back to that point.
The dad sucks in this movie.
But I thought it was funny when Audrey, you know, the wife here, she's having this, like, I guess feelings for the driver, transporter, really trying to get in there. He gives her the old classic.
Yeah.
It's not you, it's me. Not ready to go.
After she drunk drove to his house to have sex with him.
Yep. And we were like, wait, did she drive there? Scene ends. She drives back. Oh, she 100% drove home. He just hung out with her until she sobered up.
I guess.
I've noticed this is actually so far a repeating pattern of the movies is like he establishes his masculine dominance, not because he's just slaying women left and right. Mm-hmm. He actually is constantly rejecting the women around him.
Oh, yeah.
They're always coming on to
power
him. He's like,
he's just really too cool. It.
And if they push hard enough, he'll give in.
Yeah.
But with Audrey, I don't think he got in there.
No,
Jason Statham didn't have sex in this movie.
No, he didn't.
No, he got a kiss on the cheek.
The bad guys had sex place of them. And there was a lot of sexual stuff throughout.
Right. There was, but, oh my God. We're not even going to get into the villain.
Well, they really
the villainess
turned up the dial on the
Jesus
weird
Christ.
Eroticism in this movie.
The amount of crotch shots we saw of her tattoo on the inner thigh.
It wasn't even important. The tattoo is not important.
Death by rabbit.
What does that mean? It doesn't mean anything.
I couldn't see what the image of it was.
Maybe it's referring to her as a bunny.
She's like a sexy playboy bunny type thing.
Maybe. The first time, harmless, but you're going to get killed by this beautiful, harmless looking creature.
She's just naked with guns the entire
movie.
She is
naked with guns.
So
this was rated R. She would be actually naked the whole time.
The first time you see this in the movie, it's like kind of used for a purpose because they're at Jason Statham is taking the kid to the doctor's office,
right,
not realizing that the Colombian cartel bad guys mm-hmm. have murdered all the doctors so that they can covertly
kidnap the kid.
Yep. Administer the drug.
Yeah. Or they didn't even want to kidnap him.
They wanted to give him the shot.
They just wanted to give him the shot.
They weren't going to take him at all.
Right.
Plan B. Was the kidnapping.
Could be a much shorter movie if that happened.
Their plan was pretty good.
The plan, yeah.
Honestly.
Until they just started shooting cops left and right. And then you're like, all right, it's not really covert anymore.
Right.
It's not covert at all.
No, they kind of just went for it.
But anyway, so Jason Statham sitting in the lobby while the kid's at the doctor's office. And then he starts noticing strange things, like the receptionist has this weird tattoo on like the inside of her, like,
why you looking there, Jason?
Yeah, her lab coat's open on the bottom, you know, her legs out. You see the hot heels, right?
Yeah.
And a little tattoo, which they pan into her crotch.
Yeah,
I would say five times.
I think so. So the first time you're like, all right, that's weird. And then there's other moments, and then he finally realizes something's wrong. And they break into action. But then they really do go into that same inner thigh crotch tattoo.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
It's creative ways, too. They had like, they were like,
she's lying.
What's
in
another
bed.
Way to do this? Okay, so we're tracking shot of the highway, and then highway becomes her leg, and then we go to her crotch.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
It's not like we need that to know it's her. She already has a short haircut, platinum blonde hair.
Yeah.
Eyes that are just dark. With so like much makeup.
Joker level
yeah.
dark eyes.
Yeah.
And no clothes. Just skimpy.
Skimpy. You know it's her. You don't need the tattoo to identify her. Yeah.
Did she even have a name in this movie?
Oh, I wish we watched that in the credits. Wall Street.
She's Wall Street. She's the
what
next
was that
movie.
Guy's name? The main villain?
I don't know. He sucked. I did not like that villain at all.
You didn't like enjoy him as a bad villain?
I did not enjoy him as a villain.
I love him as a bad villain because he's just like a trash James Bond villain at that point. Talks like really fast about I don't even know what. But you start to actually listen to his lines and you're like, whoa, you had to say that?
Yeah.
He just barrels through it.
He does barrel through it.
He is going through dialogue.
Then what was his line on the plane where he pulls out the gun?
So he's like, Jason Statham shows up. Bad guy's about to get away on his flight. Jason Statham appears on the plane. Your flight's been canceled. And then the bad guy pulls out a gun. And 15 years earlier than 2020 says, you've been canceled.
Not knowing cancel culture.
And then Jason Statham crashes the plane.
Yeah. Oh, dude, the plane's spinning, doing 360s. Oh,
that was
rapid descent. Too
wild.
Much.
That was actually the one fight scene I didn't like. That was the moment when
the
I was
rolling.
Like,
did you not like the ceiling?
I just like that wasn't a clever fight scene. That was a fight scene about two guys just hammering each other.
Well, sure. Maybe the main guy doesn't know how to fight, and they didn't feel like bringing in a stunt double for him.
I guess.
I feel like they probably don't have that many stunt doubles.
I mean,
like all the bad guys fighting, I feel like they can actually fight.
I think those were just stunt performers.
Yeah,
honestly, there were cool fights in this movie, though.
Oh, most of the fights were awesome. That was the one point when I was like, even though I knew this was a shorter movie, I was like, actually, the pacing is starting to get exhausting for me here.
The fire hose scene.
That was cool.
Tying them all up, throwing that thing around. It's impressive.
So cool.
Yeah, that was like the oil slick.
Yes.
Oh, they had so many good callbacks in this film. The oil slick. The mandolins I was so happy. They picked
the Madelines.
First of all, the French guy's back.
Madelines. Hell yeah.
That's what I've been waiting for.
Solid B-plot in this movie.
Wait, let's talk about his life. So okay. I would be pretty upset if I was him. He's coming over to America for vacation. Right. Who knows if this is his first time in the States or not.
Yeah, 10-hour flight. Yeah.
Takes a 10-hour flight. His buddy, which they don't even call each other friends for some reason. No,
that's kind of a weird thing in this movie, too.
They bring it up a lot.
He like, brought we're it not up friends.
First, yeah. That guy brought it up to the cops himself. You know,
right?
We're not friends. I just cook in his kitchen. I come visit him. It's all good. We're not friends.
Yeah.
I think they're maybe just calling back to the original where they have this playful relationship okay. where he shows up and he's like, hey, my job's to keep an eye on you, but like, I kind of like, you're a cool dude. I kind of like checking up on you as a friend, but I'm not going to call you a friend. And then this one, they're like, let's do that same thing. But it's completely out of context at this point.
It was like a good comic relief thing. It wasn't like uproariously funny, but like,
he wasn't the
pacing
best.
Wise. Pacing wise, it was really fun. Good.
Yeah.
He needed that.
But he gets to cook the mandolins.
He does. Yeah. Which,
that's what I was waiting for.
Then he makes like
croque monsieur.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah. Can you talk about that?
It's been a long time, but it's basically like a French. If anyone French is ever listening to this podcast, they're probably going to come and kill me. But
I mean, I've been yelling mandolins, which I don't know if that's correct.
It's Madelines, but we
damn it. Mandolins, instruments, you idiot.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's too late.
Can't be undone.
I cannot edit that out. It's like we've said it too many times.
Yeah, I know.
A really good French ham and cheese sandwich, but like really good with like. I don't remember if there's a spot. Yeah, I feel like there's some kind of sauce in it.
Okay.
So, yeah, let's talk about his vacation, right?
Okay.
Maybe his first time in the States. Who knows? Right. Flies in. First of all, he's here for not long.
Maybe
it
a weekend.
It seems like, a day or
like a weekend.
A weekend.
So, he flies in, gets to his house, starts cooking.
How does he get there?
Taxi, I guess.
He just taxis to his unlocked house and gets inside. Yeah, he
gets inside, starts cooking. Mandolins. And you know, the cops show up, take them in.
Yeah.
And then like a full SWAT team shows up.
And they take them in, and then he cooks some more at the police station.
Right.
After criticizing them for their police station food.
Yeah. And then he takes a nap on the couch, does some police work.
He like hacks their computers.
Is working.
He's basically actually he's working. Like Jason Statham's like operator. Like
he's got an internship information. In the States. That's right. He's got an internship with the Miami Beat.
Yeah, he came in and worked for a weekend.
He came in and worked overnight shift with Miami PD, and then gets driven back to the airport at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And goes home.
Yeah, this movie kind of just like ends too. Like
Oh yeah.
I mean, I guess there's like. It's building and it's building, but like, it's just like, okay, then the plane crashes and he pulls him out. And then it's like, I guess everyone's cured now. I mean, I don't feel like I need to see that, but, but they don't really, there's no, like, he doesn't go like hang out with the family. He like goes to the hospital.
Well, he tries. He goes to the hospital and he goes, Audrey, I'm ready now.
Right.
And then he looks and goes, Audrey is no longer available.
Damn.
She's hanging out with Jeffrey Billings.
That guy sucks. I hated that dad. That
Jefferson, even worse.
That's Jesus his name? Christ. Jefferson Billings?
Yeah. Jefferson Billings.
And played by Matthew Modine, formerly of Full Metal Jacket. You're like, okay, this is going to be a good... No. Oh my God. This guy is unbearably bad. I am glad that it's like they're giving a male this kind of role instead of this is typically like they make the annoying...
Oh, one, yeah.
Like,
that and is you're so, like, ugh.
So I was like, all right.
That Audrey's the cool one. Here.
Audrey is cool.
Very progressive.
Like a cool soccer mom. Gets a little drunk on the weekend, you know. Drinks and drives. Hooks up with the chauffeur on the side. Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
tells her girlfriends, you'll never believe this.
They do drop Keith David way too quick. I guess after the kidnapping.
Oh, yeah. He was the best actor there by far.
What happened to Keith David?
So after they like find the kid, he's like the kidnapping handler.
He's done.
So they just like send him home.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Done. Well, did he... I guess that's something that was kind of confusing for me is they didn't really explain like who got the virus or they didn't really even follow that.
Well, they said the main plot point, who,
but like the cops that were there when they got the kid definitely got it.
Oh yeah.
Are they dead? Like, is Keith David dead? Like, did they get to everyone within 24 hours to give them this?
They're sucking the main bad guy dry of his own blood.
I guess. And,
transfusing everybody.
Because in the movie, he injects himself with the antidote.
So he is the antidote.
So he's the antidote.
which if you're not matching the blood type. Which,
also, does that work? Wouldn't your body just like process it? Yeah. And like
probably overdose on it. Yeah. Slumps over. That'd be a fun way to end
you
it.
Can, yeah.
And I feel like the white blood cells would eventually just kill it off anyways. Yeah. Right? It's not going to hang out with the antibody. I don't know.
I think we're thinking no way too hard about this.
Let's call the CDC. We'll figure it out. Hey, you got coronavirus figured out?
Let's call Luke Besson and see what he thinks.
Yeah. Hey, Luke. What's up with this?
What the fuck?
Did Keith David
what kind
die?
Of Gatorade is it lemon lime or not? Can you tell us that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we don't need to know. We're just kind of like, I guess that it's just one of those, like, they saved the day. You're good. Yeah. Don't worry about it anymore, movies.
Yeah. Again, not that many people died.
Not really. That one dude on the when the boat fell Ooh, down on him.
Yeah.
There was a fight, the big dude on the boat.
Yep. Yeah. Which was a great scene, especially with someone that large moving around that fast.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool.
That was cool.
Yeah, that's part of why the fight scenes are so fun. It's like they have fun with the weapons that are being fought with or like the opponents that Jason Statham, and they don't shy away from the fact that he's like an average like height guy. Yeah,
right.
They give him people who are way taller than him just to show how good a fighter he is. And then the environments, he starts to win that fight when he goes inside like a tiny yacht.
Yep.
And just starts bouncing off the walls. It's amazing.
It's almost, I mean, this is probably heresy. It's almost a little Jackie Chan-y. Like with the like using the environment, like throwing people into things and like
it's clever,
rolling around and it's very clever. Like it's very, very well, it's good fight scenes.
Yeah.
Like front to back.
And it's unique, right? Like the oils.
Yeah.
From the first one. I haven't seen that. And then the fire hose, tying people up, turning it on.
Cool.
Also unique.
Even then, like or the when he's fighting people with samurai swords and he like starts dumping them into the trash can. Yeah. It's just like a gag, like a little thing that like makes it pop a little bit more.
Yeah. It's like it's very entertaining every single fight scene. It's not like what we were talking about earlier with the what was the movie? The Bourne, was it a James Bond movie where they're just punching each other on the sand?
Mission Impossible 2.
Oh, yeah, Mission Impossible, where they're just punching each other on the sand for 10 minutes.
So long. Yeah, there's nothing to be gained.
Even like John Wick, the last one, he'll unlock like a new move he's into, and then you'll see it like four or five times, back to back to back to back to back. You know, it just keeps going.
Yeah.
This is true.
Yeah,
that is something I do really like the John Wick movies, but I feel like each one's like around the 2 hour mark. Mm-hmm. And what is really good about these so far is they're each like an hour and a half. Like
get in, get out.
The
pacing
of it, they know exactly how to like get you interested, like complicate the plot enough, have a rest moment, another exciting moment. It's like
it's
energetic.
It's weird that it's very satisfied at the end of it.
Oh
you know, I don't want more per se.
Well,
but I mean. I don't want that to go on longer. I'm happy we're where it ended.
This is perfect.
Yes. I thought we would be suffering a lot more for the first episode of this of this podcast. I really thought we'd really hate the Transporter movies.
This is why I have these on DVDs. Like
they're good.
They're fun. Yeah.
I mean, the first two at least have been good.
Yep. We've got third one could be scary.
Yeah.
What's the time frame? Because I'm thinking the first one was 02. Second one was like 04, 05.
And third's like 07, maybe 08.
Okay, so that's pretty that's consistent.
Zone.
Yeah.
And fourth one's 2015.
Right.
Whoa.
And a different actor.
And a different actor.
No.
And a different director, I think. Right?
Oh, yeah, different everything.
That'll be fun. That'll be a good palate cleanser.
If you want to call it that.
Yeah, it'll be... I'm glad it's at the end of this.
Are you?
I don't know. I think that might...
You want to be in a bad mood for 14 hours before making a podcast?
I want my mood to improve throughout the day.
Okay. Does anybody know anything about the third one? Okay.
You guys are going to be.
I don't. Oddly enough, I have seen the second one.
I feel like I've seen
that. I did not think I did. So
I know there's a sex scene in a car in the third one, so I feel like you might
have
seen that.
That's the one I've seen.
I've been waiting for a steamy hand on the window.
I don't want to like set you guys up to go into this. Like expecting it to be bad because I still enjoy it. Like,
okay,
still watch this a good amount of times. I think you're gonna hate the main girl.
Damn,
like the love interest.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I personally think the bad guy is the best actor of all the bad guys they've had in the shows. In the third one.
Okay, that's exciting.
But we'll see.
Do you guys still think it's weird that he didn't actually have a love interest in this one, like the same as the first?
No.
Because they would have had to force it. Like, there's so much going on. And they show that there's a lot of, like, sexuality and, like, love interest, but they just don't.
I guess in this one, instead of rescuing the woman,
yeah,
he's rescuing the kid.
I guess, you know? Yeah.
And they have more of an emotional connection.
I kind of feel like
that compares.
I kind of feel like
that's what they went for.
They were though. Going for the love interest with the villain, almost. Like, with a
that's
the,
just
the
her. Chick. That's her personality.
Well, she was, like, just licking his face and stuff. That's definitely something.
Oh, I don't think they're going for, like, love, but they're trying to get your...
I don't know.
You need to have some amount of sexuality in an action movie. They're like, all right, we'll let this one. Literally, the main woman, after he, like, politely rejects her when she drunk drives to his house, she says, thank you for the respect.
That was very wholesome. Like, yeah.
All right.
It was wholesome.
It was wholesome.
And that's, like, the first 15 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
At first, everyone was like, whoa, they're getting into it quick. And they were like, oh, no.
I mean, she's looking at him when he pulls up.
Oh, yeah.
She's leaning over in the car talking to him. She's ready.
That happens three times in this movie. Well, I guess we should just go into the third one.
Check it out.
See if it's wholesome or not.
Oh, it's not.
No. Oh, no. Steamy window.
But it's fun.
My boss said you're the man for the job.
But unavailable.
You have 10 seconds to change your mind.
And I'll give you 5 seconds to remove your hand.
Don't think of this as just another job. Think of it as a mission.
One condition. I drive my own car.
We changed the oil, gave it a tune-up, took out all the non-essentials. I thought you might like company.
You want to tell me what this is all about?
When you pass 75 feet from the car, complete the mission, save your life.
You didn't mention you bring company.
It's complicated.
With you, it's always complicated.
They're going to kill us!
Do not.
You really should think more positive.
Step away from the vehicle.
You've disappointed me. I've been thinking any idiot with a driver's license will do.
You're fired.
Jason Statham.
You think we're playing games, Frank?
A little late for warnings, don't you think? One more step, Frank. Come on, one more.
Transporter 3.
Okay,
being from South.
Being from South.
That was a rough one, huh? That one's bad. Yeah. That was real bad.
That went so downhill for me, the first and second one.
I was having such a good time.
Yep.
Yeah. That one was 10 minutes longer than the other two, but twice as long spiritually.
Felt spiritually. I thought I was in some kind of weird drug trip.
I guess just like the plot of this very quickly, and then we can talk about the important parts.
Yeah, Henry, I think you're going to have to go for this one.
Yeah.
There's I don't know who the bad guys are.
Yeah, that sums it up.
Perfect.
Don't quite know
it's
who the
not
bad
like
guys
it's
are.
A complicated plot. I just don't care about it.
So there's multiple cargo ships full of radioactive waste, and the bad guys want to get the Ukrainian prime minister to allow them to, I guess, dump it in their world.
They don't really say.
He's just an environmentalist, and they are like evil corporate waste people.
Yeah.
They never really explained.
Garbage people. They're just like they want to dump garbage. That's their thing.
And so, in order to enforce this, they kidnap Ukrainian prime minister's daughter. And for whatever reason, rather than just keep her in like a secure location, put her in a
they car. Start driving her across
and just driving Europe. Her across Europe. And the added twist that is like the only fun part of this movie is that they put her and her driver with little magnetic wristbands that blow up if you get 75 feet away from the car. You're like, all right, solid gimmick. So we start because her original driver, one of Jason Statham's proteges, comes to him for help, but then they send him away in an ambulance and he blows up 75 feet.
Yeah, which that dude seemed cool.
That guy seemed cool.
I wanted a little bromance going between Frank and Malcolm.
That movie.
Yeah. They just hang out and they're like, dude, what you been up to? He's like, crazy jobs, let me tell you about
him. Driving this chick around.
I've been
for
driving
weeks.
This monster around.
Speaking of that monster.
Oh my
what
God. How to
in
describe
the world?
Her?
That is the least likable love interest in a movie I've ever watched.
So I guess to describe her, she's very similar in build to the last villain, the second one.
Yeah.
Except the villain in the second one had blonde short hair, the crotch tattoo we talked about extensively.
Yeah. That was Andrew's favorite part of this film so far.
Is the same frame, tall, slender,
yeah,
short, red hair this time.
Well, she's wearing a black wig at the beginning, but they don't really do anything with that.
No, that's just she parties.
Yeah.
Cool. They're like, she parties.
She wears a wig.
Yep. And then besides that, she also has a dark eye makeup.
Yeah.
So it's on point.
Raccoon eye.
Raccoon-eyed lunatic.
And then, yeah, she goes from like really moody to then throwing like tantrums, then like doing drugs and like getting attention. We were talking before about how like Jason Statham's thing in these movies is to like reject the advances of the women.
God. Right.
Yeah. And this one, she literally blackmails him into having sex with her. She's like, I've got the keys right here. You're going to do this.
It's kind of fucked up.
Do you think it's a moral thing for him where he goes, you know what? I shouldn't hook up with them, but if they try hard enough, I have to give in, right? Or is he actually not in the mood? He has too much on his mind where he goes, listen, I am.
We've never heard what Rule 5 is in any of the movies, so it's possible.
I think that's rule five.
That's probably rule five.
But he broke all the rules in this one, which also was kind of lame.
He breaks all the rules in all of the movies. That's all he does is break the rules.
But he keeps talking about it.
He keeps talking about those rules. Yeah. Man, she was just so childish.
She was a 4-year-old the whole time. Yeah. She was moody and silent at first. Didn't want to talk about anything.
Yeah.
Then she took two mollies.
And then went into a gas station, pissed on the floor. Still a thing of vodka.
I think that's the service in that fucking gas station. The guy goes, all right, it's 50 ruples. Like, you get to take a swig out of that bottle, piss on the ground, eat some chips.
That, just an animal.
Animal. The whole time Jason goes, donk, donk,
stop, please donk. Stop. She keeps talking about all these restaurants she wants to go to.
That's my least favorite part about this shit.
That's the basis of their relationship.
The first time she starts talking about a menu, fish, carrots, black pepper. I cannot. I go, what is that? Is that something you know on the menu?
Yeah.
Black pepper, exotic. Like what?
The chicken is so fresh, the butter come out of it.
I feel
what?
Like
butter. Excuse me?
Like, okay. If you're going to have seasoning on fish, right?
Okay.
Would you list black pepper as a highlight of this dish?
I don't know. Probably not.
You'd say like a black pepper sauce, and then people are like, oh, that's
okay, pretty
good.
But would you say
a salty sauce? No.
Salty sauce. Salty sauce.
Black pepper. Black. Then she goes, wine, pink from South.
Yeah. I don't understand what they were thinking when they decided this was going to be the main.
Dude.
Well, I feel like you see in a lot of the movies, like everyone's always like kind of annoying Jason Statham.
Yeah.
Like the first chick, like everyone,
that's
like
true.
That's sort. So if I'm trying to get into the writer's point of view, it's like part of the fun. Then it's like he's a cool like gentleman dude,
right.
But then he also like has to bend his rules and like get a little out of his comfort zone. Mm-hmm. I feel like they took that. But then lost their minds.
Yeah.
Like, he's not enjoying it.
No. We're not enjoying it.
No,
we're
no
not
one's enjoying it.
Who's enjoying it? I don't even know if she's enjoying it.
It doesn't seem like it.
I mean, I must have enjoyed it when I first saw it. But I also remembered her being really annoying. So it could have just been, like, Stockholm syndrome.
I don't know. The fight scenes in this one suck, too.
That was tragic. The bicycle chase, I think, was solid, but everything else.
I mean, they got a pro BMXer.
It looked, it was definitely.
He was grinding down like a 20 stair in a warehouse. Yeah. It was sick.
That was a cool scene.
That was exciting.
Every fight scene where they were just fighting, though, was just punching. Yeah. Like, there was no, like, cool.
He did like some stuff with his clothes, like wrapping it around, but it was like.
But it was all, like, shaky camera shaky and then sped up so much.
Over edited. Yes. It was bummer.
Yeah, they were doing that thing where they slowed at, like they were filming at half speed, it looked like. Like they weren't going full tilt, and then they just sped it up in post to make
a
it
lot.
Look.
They sped it up a
to
lot
to make it look real.
Even the shooting scenes too, with him putting the gun up and putting it away and swinging it around. Everything was sped up.
I don't think there were any like shooting scenes in the first two movies that are just him shooting at other people. It's always
he doesn't really use guns in the first two movies. I mean, kind of, but
only to like finish off one guy, and then he gets rid of him. Like he empties out a clip in like the first movie, and then just ditches the gun. Whereas in this one, they're like, "All right, just kill everyone. We don't have time."
He kills so many people in this movie.
Oh yeah, the non-violence we were talking about in number one is gone.
Yeah,
this one escalated. Crushes. He goes, "I'm gonna get the craziest woman by my side, and we're gonna stick together after all this, and I'm just gonna start murdering everyone." He goes,
"That's what he did." You just kill people. I mean, I guess, dude, is there anything else? Like, do you want to talk about anything else in this movie? This one's just bad.
I thought the bad guy was okay.
Was your favorite bad guy.
Yeah, it still is my favorite bad guy.
I think he's probably the best actor of the three.
Best actor of the bad. He's not a good bad guy. I wouldn't be like, all right, top 10 bad guys. Transporter 3. But, like, he's, like, a believable villain.
Our French friend,
he's
amazing, but he didn't do that much.
He really didn't do
very
much.
He did get more screen time though.
Yeah, compared to the second one.
Yeah,
I will tell you the scene with the at the bottom of the river filling up those bags with air out of the tires.
Yeah. So do you want to just like explain that scene a little bit?
Yeah. So he's still got the bracelet, right?
Yeah.
He can't get 75 feet from the car. Mm-hmm. He's on a bridge. He's surrounded.
He just let the girl
out of the car.
Yeah,
so you know the package was delivered, right?
Yeah. So the bad guys got her. Yeah,
he can't do anything about that. Otherwise, both of them probably blow up. So he lets her go. They start shooting at him. So he revs up his car, classic style, like in every one of these. In the first one, he did it over a bridge, and didn't break through the barrier somehow.
Flew over it.
Second one, he blew through a barrier, which was cool. Yeah. Same thing. This one.
You did it a lot of times in this movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for the train, too.
Yeah.
But anyways, for the water part, he burns out, gets his tires going, launches into the river, gets shot at.
A lot.
A lot. None of the bullets break the glass.
Or anything.
Or anything.
Car
no
is sinking
holes.
This whole time.
No holes in the car.
No holes in
All
the car.
Good.
Car it's full of water, though.
Yeah.
It is, but it's slowly filling up. Yeah. Like, the first scene we see
He has
him,
time to call his friend.
That's right. He does make a call.
And he's calling his friend, and his friend says, "Hey, where are you?" And he goes, "I'm in the lake." He goes, "Which lake?" He goes, "Under the dam."
And then
random security guard is like,
"Overhears
I know the dam.
It. I know the dam. 10 minutes from here. Let's go." Which it doesn't even matter that they went there. They ended up going there just to fix the car because, A, he goes down, releases the tire pressure.
Mm-hmm.
A, he's breathing out of the tire pressure, which was cool.
Can you
I was
do
into that?
Is that?
It'd be really hard, but I think he could probably do it. I don't know.
That was interesting. That was
cool. That was cool.
Yeah.
Because at first, he kind of goes into the bag and breathes himself, which I thought was, cool.
Right.
He's got like they're going back to this unique thing of the old movies, which I enjoyed.
I was excited.
So he has these duffel bags in the back of his car for reasons we don't need to get into.
Huge. They're massive.
Big massive.
Orange duffel bags.
So after breathing out through his own tires, then
he fills them up with the rest of the tires.
Right. Fills up the duffel bags, and you're like, all right.
And the duffel bags, let me tell you, they are massive. The amount of air in those would be 8 tractor tires per bag.
Definitely, yeah.
And so the car at this point gets lifted from the bottom of the river.
It does, yeah.
By the power
Since
of the
can't,
duffel bag.
He can't leave the car, right? So I was thinking, oh, man, is he going to just breathe the air forever at the bottom of this river and wait for his friend?
I kind
of
hope he was just driving it on the bottom of the river. That's what I was hoping for.
Yep. Well, it gets just as ridiculous because, A, he floats up there. Yeah. Some dude with a tractor pulls him out, which we didn't see any of that
Just some random farmer pulled him out.
He's just getting pulled out. And then with his French friend, he gets the car back up and running in a matter of minutes.
Yeah.
The car's been at the bottom of the river for 15 minutes.
This car's done a lot of things.
Yeah.
This car's been places.
Nothing's broken on it, including the window he broke himself and came through.
I forgot about that.
Which respawned immediately.
It did, yeah.
As soon as he broke it, it was back. That was upsetting.
Yeah, it really let out all the momentum we had going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really thought this was going to be just a smooth sailing.
I thought, I was surprised how good the second one was.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of the same crew.
Huh. Well, there is one more.
Oh my god!
There is one more film.
A final transporter.
Final transporter.
Oh,
what's it called?
Transporter Refueled or something with Refueled in the title.
Probably.
I was gonna say really quick. I found it interesting.
It's brutal.
So Transporter 3 came out in 2008.
Okay.
Which is same year as The Dark Knight, this has been a personal, thought of mine. After The Dark Knight, truly makes Batman a pulp comic hero, like dark and gritty.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Everything starts becoming dark and gritty. Like Planet of the Apes becomes dark and gritty. Godzilla becomes dark and gritty. Like, I personally believe that precipitated Hollywood's launch into dark and gritty. Mm. And now we've kind of gone the other way with Marvel stuff, which is now like light and
bringing
poppy.
It back to light.
Yeah.
But like when Transporter 3 came out, it was like right on the cusp.
The people end being of like, fun.
Yeah, like the first two movies fun. Are like fun and just smooth sailing. And this one starts with like a couple guys getting melted by nuclear waste. And then like they find a way to get a fight scene in there early. But like it takes a while for even Frank to show up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just kind of like that's honestly the biggest mood kill right away is that the girl is so dark and sad.
Yeah.
Doom and gloom. I want to dance.
Frank, why are you so serious, Frank?
Frank, make playtime for
me. Make playtime with me, Frank.
She wanted to say, make time for me, but she also wanted to say, play with me. And she said,
make playtime for me, Frank. Jeez.
Then he does the saddest striptease I've ever seen.
Jeez. Yikes. You guys have a favorite line from, what was her name?
Valentina. Wait. What was it? What did she say?
Oh, when she flips him off.
Think about this.
Oh, yeah.
Think this. That was the best one.
I can't remember how he sets it up. He's like, think about all the. I can't even remember it.
It doesn't matter.
He's like, think about all the things we could have done together. And she's like, think this, and holds up the finger.
He doesn't even retaliate. He goes, I can't deal with this woman anymore.
This is why I had to hire a driver to just keep you out there in the countryside.
Yeah, he was supposed to be the one driving around. He goes, I can't handle this.
I'll hire someone else
to deal with this right now.
I did bring up the 2008 thing because the final movie comes out 7 years later in 2015. So just a whole new world. We're out of 20 aughts. And anyway, I'm curious to see how they fuck it up.
And you haven't seen this.
I have not seen this.
I don't
one.
Think I have either. I don't.
So Frenchman's definitely not in here.
Well, it's not Jason Statham. So I don't know. I feel like that means the original cast is probably not there.
Yeah.
But I might be completely wrong about that. It might just be the French dude.
It might be his movie.
I'd love
him
that.
Cooking mandolins.
Not a chance.
I'm gonna learn how to say that word one day.
They didn't fucking cook.
No, that's that. God that's damn what's it. Missing.
That's the it. Problem.
They
with
talked
this
about
movie.
Fucking pepper and fish for pepper. Too long. Jeez.
So much food. And when the French guy talks about the food, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You're like, let me see you. I want to watch you make more food.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this.
Yeah.
Put that carrots in the fish and then it is good.
And then there is butter.
The amount of time, every time a location is brought up, they're like Budapest.
Or I know Budapest.
I know a restaurant. Yeah. You're like, here we go. Here we fucking go again. Talking about some kind of basic ass food.
Yeah. Okay.
I am curious. So the guy who plays the transporter in the new one,
yes.
Ed Skrein, who plays the bad guy in the first Deadpool. So he's pretty solid in that one. I mean, he's like pretty much just a really hot guy, mostly acts. Yeah. Like he doesn't do a lot in Deadpool. Deadpool is Ryan Reynolds all the way. But, he doesn't drag it down. He was in Game of Thrones in like season 2 or 3, and they recast him in the next season. So the best.
Damn.
That's crazy. It's hardcore. They just kill people in that show. Yeah. They recast them.
No, they're like, we like this character. We need to take this into direction.
Like, this character's too important now.
That's intense. That's a slam in the face.
We will see what Ed brings to the table.
I wonder if Luke actually wrote this one. Because he's written all three, right?
Yeah, so he's far. Co-wrote all three. So.
We'll find out, hopefully. I guess.
Oh, this could just be a completely different movie.
I kind of hope.
I hope it's different.
Any
than
turn
the fish
would
and black
be a
pepper.
Good turn at this point.
Hello? Technology moves fast, doesn't it? I mean, as soon as you think they can't come up with something, they come up with something else. Makes you wonder if guys like me will be out of a job. No. People will always need guys like me, right? You're gonna make me late.
How you like me now?
Where are the packages?
These are the packages.
How you like me now?
Now drive.
Don't worry. We will make him pay.
Well, boys, we did it. That was way easier than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Might have started on a chill one, though.
Yeah.
But still, it's what we need.
It'll get worse.
It'll get worse. It did fly by, and I think what I was afraid of was just mentally being captivated the whole time and having to think.
Sure, yeah.
Hard. These plots were so simple.
Oh, they're so easy.
You know, there's not much to think about. It's just laid out for you. Just you sit down, you take the ride.
For real, yeah.
That's why they're good. That's why people like them. It's like, I don't want to say like disposable movies, but it's very much just like...
It's very like...
Take it in, enjoy
it. Watch it, don't, and you will not think about this. This will not be in your brain ever again.
No. Yeah, pure
That's why I forgot I watched the second one.
Yeah, that was one of the better
fully
ones.
Fully watched that movie, gone from my brain forever. It is back now for a little bit.
I thought the second one was fun. The fourth one, though, I thought it was pretty good.
Surprisingly solid.
Good. And I wasn't that mad that it wasn't, you know, Jason or the French. Missing the French man was sad.
But they did replace that with, like, the new dynamic between the new Frank and his dad.
His dad is cool.
Yeah.
His dad is cool. His dad. And he got the three-way.
His dad three-wayed in this movie. Yeah.
That was dope.
That's the main thing I think we all took away from that.
His dad three-ways in this movie. Watch it.
Who gets to retire? Then the next day, gets the three-way.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He gets kidnapped the day after he retires.
He's also loving his kidnapping the entire time. He's just flirting with his captors.
Way too into it.
They're flirting back.
Drinking vodka with them. They're asking him if he wants more vodka.
Yeah. He's just partying with them the entire time.
I was worried when it started, because it starts with a bunch of dudes just murdering people and then setting up a prostitution ring. I was like, oh, this is going to be like...
That was a rough start. But
yeah, like dark and weird.
After that, not much happened in this movie.
No. It's like, you know, the girls go on their revenge against the guys. Surprisingly, like, I don't want to say like an intelligent revenge story, just like
it was kind of cool though.
There's enough like more going on than just like we're just gonna kill them one by one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was actually some like interesting heist stuff, I guess. Like the
money transferring.
Oh yeah, when they
drag and drop 120 mil and then drop it again. Like in another 5 seconds.
Swipe right. 120 mil.
Yeah. That part was not great. But I don't know. Like the club scene was cool. I like the club scene when they were like putting the gas.
Everybody.
They were gassing everyone in the club. That was really cool. I like that.
Yeah, you trying to go to that club where everyone got gassed last week? I think that's what the guy was upset about. He goes, listen, my reputation is screwed.
Yeah. I do understand why people probably would not be like invested in this movie at all, though. Like, it's not like a reason to there's not like a driving plot. It's like they're stealing stuff. There's nothing happening other than
And the buildup of 15 years, you don't feel that.
Oh yeah.
Right. Because the first scene, they look the same age as they are now.
Right.
Because it goes from them showing up. Right. They're 12 years old apparently.
Apparently.
Right.
Oh yeah.
And they show up and the guy's like, you work for me now. You're gonna have to love your work. Learn to love it.
Yeah.
And then flash forward 15 years, she looks identical to what we just saw.
Yeah. It felt like we should be taking it more seriously.
In that moment. A couple moments.
Like the movie, like the subject matter is about prostitution rings. And like killing Russian prostitution
czars,
mob bosses.
Crime czars.
Yeah.
That's what it said in the newspaper. The
crime czar
murder.
Yeah. but it doesn't take it that seriously. And it's, I don't know. I had a good time.
Yeah.
Much better than the third one.
Oh, the third one.
Breath of fresh air. Yeah.
And it's crazy that the guy that directed it edited the third one.
Yeah. Because so much better.
One of the worst things about the third one was
the editing.
The editing.
How over edited it was.
Yeah.
I guess he didn't edit this one. He just
directed it. So, like, hey, you get out of there.
Yeah. All right, bud.
He's trying to edit this one too. They're like, no.
Nah, man. Not for you.
I'm surprised this got, you said it got a 16.
Yeah, I'm very surprised this was so hated.
Really? So this is rated lower than the third one?
Pretty sure, yeah.
Really? The third one is dog shit. Awful.
Yeah. It's like I can see that this one is not like, again, like we're saying, it's like pretty disposable. It's just surprising to me that so many people hate that.
Yeah.
And it is also interesting to think about, like, I also thought Ed Skrein was like pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Like,
yeah.
I liked him. Solid. I held it through.
Yeah.
He's not as like charming, I guess, or like there's something more like star powerish about Jason Statham.
He's a better Jason Statham's a better fighter.
Definitely.
Which is part of it, I think.
Huge part of it.
But I think it's like about like star power. Like he leaves like an imprint on you, whereas this guy's like perfectly good, but also like a little forgettable.
That's fair.
I wonder.
Yeah, I would for in a year, I'm not going to remember who played.
Yeah.
Him,
yeah.
You know,
I wonder if like how much of the backlash was because it wasn't Jason Statham.
Totally.
And they just were mad about that. I don't feel like I missed him that much though. Like it doesn't need a strong charismatic lead for this movie. It's just, it's an action movie where they're robbing places and fighting people.
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't need to make this through the Transporter series.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know?
Yeah.
I feel like if they hadn't though, like, A, it wouldn't have gotten made because people would have just been like,
why are we watching this random action movie?
Yeah. I would also argue, I think the charisma of Jason Statham is what gets you into them. Obviously, mm-hmm. stay and enjoy like the action scenes, but like I feel like that's why it's a series, period. Yeah. It's because he's like a charismatic and like, I don't want to say interesting character, but like that is the fun of it, is like he's a guy with rules who always breaks
them. He always breaks the rules, yeah. I'd agree with that. Jason Statham, he's the reason those first two movies are interesting and worth watching, I think.
Yeah. I will say, I think the acting, like, if you put it, like, on an average, like, all of the actors in this one were solid, which you cannot say for any of the first three. Oh,
that's very fair. Yeah, that is very fair.
I was like, everyone's doing a pretty good job.
This is not a bad series of films.
No.
People make fun of this series of films as like kind of throwaway garbage, like, but these are 3 out of 4 pretty good movies.
Yeah. Perfectly fun.
If I had to watch all 4 of these again, I could deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The third
Matt
one
is saying something.
The third one, obviously skip the third one.
I mean, for laughs, but it's not, just even not for fun laughs. Enough. It's not funny.
It's not funny enough.
You'd have to see it with your buddies to laugh at it, but even then, it's kind of like,
it's a waste. It's so many better things you could watch. It's
trauma bonding.
Thing, should I say?
Yeah, trauma bonding. Yeah, trauma bonding. Yeah, we did it. You don't have to. But the like 3 out of 4, like, these are solid.
Pretty solid, yeah. If you want like fun, disposable, like good time action movies that you don't.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and your brain's tired, this is perfect.
Oh,
yeah.
I would fall asleep to a Transporter movie any day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, I was waiting to be exhausted mentally.
Right.
And I feel the same as when I came into this.
Well, you were exhausted.
It's been a
mentally
really easy day of work. That's
true.
Just really going forward, like pushing, I mean, like 6 movies, I could see it possible.
Yeah. I mean, we started with 4, which I feel like is a pretty good base level.
They were short, though.
They are short.
Yeah.
Because runtime was it? Hour and a half average?
Yeah.
I think so.
Longest one was hour 40.
Okay.
So that's about 6 hours.
6 hours. And that 53-hour Bond marathon's looking scarier and scarier.
But like 7 movies?
Jeez.
I feel like we would to split it up, like, Ford, like, we've got 4 days of just, we wake up, I don't know, do some exercise, eat some food, spend 12 hours a day of James Bond.
Yeah.
That's what I could
do. We'll have to build up to that, I think.
Yeah, we just got to train.
We'll have to train.
Dude, but honestly, this was not bad.
No.
Yeah. These are fun movies.
I kind of
enjoyed
these
are fun movies.
Most of them. What was your guys' favorite one?
Either one or two.
Probably two for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like Audrey.
Yeah.
The drunk driver.
I like the drunk driver. I don't know. I like this one too. Go ahead. Go. Which one did you like?
I think one the most.
Okay.
There's something about the Madelines. I even like the like weird kind of too low-key sample track score. Just like puts me in like the imagery, like just puts me in like a really comfortable mindset.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
But I would say the second one might be the better action movie. It's shorter. That one's the one that's under 90 minutes. More action, more like American style, just like pounding soundtrack.
Maybe that's why I like the first one.
You like it's the
less
first
American.
One?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And it has a certain magic to it.
Yeah. I liked, you know? I didn't love that the second one was in Miami. I liked that the other ones were in Europe. That's just, I don't like, that was just more interesting to me.
Well, totally. But yeah, that's where the heart lies.
Yeah.
The movie, you know.
Which they also got right in this one. I also have to say for this fourth one, only one I think that had a good romantic subplot.
I'd agree with that.
What, the three-way? Hell yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
I mean, I believe
it. I believe it.
I believe those two, like, 25-year-old women were into that 55-year-old dude.
I mean, he's pretty hot for that old.
He's pretty hot. He was slugging vodka, talking about transporting parts around the Middle East.
He's great in HBO's Rome, too, guys. Ooh, I gotta let you know.
I believe
check
it.
Check that out.
He's good as the bad guy and the other guys.
But yeah, I think one just holds a special place in my heart. Just watched it enough.
Yeah.
And still holds up. So that's great to hear. Great to know.
Great to
know. In my heart.
Yeah.
It's still there.
Still there.
Home's still there.
Home will always be there. You just can't always go to it.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Marathon Podcast. Our theme music, as always, is courtesy of Jacob White. If you're interested in learning more about this show or other things that myself, Henry, and Andrew have going on, drop me a follow at Colt45Joyce on pretty much all social media platforms, including YouTube and Twitch. And then follow Andrew at Andrew Deuteronic on Instagram. That is Andrew DudaRoneK. And Henry doesn't do social media, so if you're interested in what he's doing, follow Andrew and I, and we'll try to keep you up to date as well. Once again, thank you so much for listening to the Marathon Podcast. My name is Colt, and I'll talk to you next week.